Yeah, so we are in the middle of a relationship series. It's called One Another, talking about how we can be better at loving one another. There's been two Sunday morning messages so far. The first one, Pastor Eleanor gave us a marriage seminar. I don't know if you remember that a couple of weeks back. Therese and I had a chat about it, and it looks like we've come to the conclusion that we've improved our marriage by about 7 to 8%, which is good, right? Like that's a noticeable difference. The funny thing is, Therese wasn't present for the message, so I'm kind of wondering, was it me? Was it, maybe it was all me? And Pastor Alan last week did one on loving one another. Which was really powerful. One part of that message, he said, what did he say? He said, it's impossible to like someone without loving them, which I do agree with. I'm just kind of hoping that it's possible to love someone without liking them every now and again, because there's sometimes, hey, some people, just like, Lord, I at least will preserve the love in my heart. Yeah. Today, we've got another topic to talk about. And I'm going to use this clicker throughout it. I've only ever seen people like really good speakers and teachers like Dave Mann use stuff like this. So I'm hoping that it works. Oh, hey, look at that. Okay, so I'm not going to tell you the subject of today. I'm just going to read out some quotes, and then we're going to try and figure out what it is together, okay? Because I'm quite curious what it is too. First, this one here, this is from John F. Kennedy, the former US president who is no longer with us. Someone from a grassy knoll shot him in Dallas. At least, according to the tradition of the bullet. He says, forgive your enemies, but never forget their names. This guy here is called Emo Phillips. He's a very famous comedian, not that you've heard of him, which doesn't mean he's famous, it just means you haven't heard of him. He said here, when I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a new bicycle. Then I realized the Lord doesn't work that way, so I stole one and asked him to forgive me. there we go. Christians. Oh, this is Patricia Heaton. Who knows? Who recognizes that face? She was on Everybody Loves Raymond. She was on The Middle. She's... Listen to this. This is a quote from her. Christians, whether as a priest, a nun, a minister, whatever, have just been stereotyped to death. You try to be a model of kindness and love and forgiveness to all those around you because you have received kindness and love and forgiveness from God through Christ. That's what Christianity is. So maybe we could, on the count of three, talk about, or all guess together what the, and we're going to say it out loud, what the theme for this morning's message is. Ready? One, two, three. Ah, yeah, very good. Forgiveness. Okay. We're talking about forgiveness this morning. Before I start, though, I want to just get a couple of things straight. I am not a trained psychologist, okay? This is not, what I'm about to talk about is not being like, it's not like rigorous academic study. It hasn't been peer-reviewed and tested and all this kind of stuff. I am just a simple man observations based on life experience, okay? So that's all I'm going to be talking from, and what would qualify me to do that? One of the really interesting things is that you see me as I am now, but you don't know my past and where I've come from. You know what I mean? We've been you see what I've been saved to, not what I've been saved from, and I grew up in a reasonably difficult life situation where, in retrospect, as I look back, forgiveness, for me, was the main way that I could survive. It was a survival instinct. I grew up in a family that was full of drugs and violence and physical abuse, both, you know, mental abuse, both these types of things. And what I find, looking back, particularly now that I'm 40 years old and I have my own kids, is that... somehow I managed to get a revelation of forgiveness that I was able to forgive the people who were hurting me before even becoming a Christian. And so what I want to talk about is from that place of, this is what worked for me. So I don't want you to come back to me when you've gone to your counselor and said, Gene said this and that. and or if someone contradicts me, please do it privately. Just come up to me afterwards and say, "Gene, you got it all wrong." Not don't just stand up and shout, you know. Okay, be nice. Secondly, I'm really, really aware that anybody who's been more than a Christian for 5 years has probably heard about 30 messages on forgiveness, okay? So, and I'm pretty sure most of us know about forgiveness. Pretty sure we all have like an Insta story worth quote or some cliche in our back pocket that we're just ready to feed out if the situation arises. I get that. So my job today isn't to try and teach you guys about forgiveness as if you've never heard it before. My job is to try and hopefully give you guys a little bit of a different perspective on what forgiveness is. And maybe just encourage you guys, inspire you guys to embrace it. Okay? So I just want to get that out and about as well. The way I'm going to do this message is I'm going to ask three questions. What is forgiveness? Next one. Why does it seem easier to not forgive? And why is it better to forgive? Okay, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that the moment we turn our attention to you, you are here as well. I just pray you move in our hearts and minds as I go through this message, Father. I just pray if there's anything noble and pure and good and trustworthy, Father, that you would sow it into our spirits. Lord, for every person, may our eyes be open. May our hearts be open. May our ears be listening. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Okay. So, first question. There it is. Whoops. We went too far. Look at that. It goes backwards. What is forgiveness? And probably the best way for me to answer this question is actually talk about this subject here, this concept here, emotional debt. I just put those verses in underneath some of these headers, just so that you know I'm a Christian. You're welcome to look them up if you want. Okay. So, emotional debt. There's a definition for you. Emotional debt is the negative value we assign to a traumatic event and the difference between a perfect emotional state and a traumatized emotional state. That's what emotional debt is. So, and I'm going to give you a little bit of an example here. See that guy? So handsome. I feel like I've seen him before. His name is Lucius. He's Lucius. Now, just so we're aware, Lucius is 28 years old. Lucius is obsessed with symmetry. He's dairy intolerant. And he films HD time-lapse footage of nature scenes in his spare time, which he sends to the BBC through unsolicited emails, hoping that Sir David Attenborough will one day use them in footage in a documentary. Not likely. Well, let's turn the page here. Okay, so for simplicity's sake, we're going to say that Lucius here has never ever experienced any pain, suffering, or loss. We're going to say he's never experienced any pain, suffering, or loss. And if we were to describe his emotional state, we could say a word like whole. And if we were going to use an illustration visually, it would look like this. No, that. He's emotionally whole. Just a simple line. Oh no. Oh no. What's happened? Lucius's friend has just drawn a parallelogram, which we all know has no line of symmetry. And this has grieved Lucius. Lucius is actually quite upset about this, and now he holds a grievance towards his friend. Oh, the poor guy. He feels that Lucius has done this on purpose. If we were to describe his emotional state now, we could use a word like debt. And we could visually illustrate this like this. Oh, he's so sad. Well, I want to draw your attention to the big gap in the middle here. There's been a big drop in his emotional state. He's been traumatized, and now he's no longer whole. He's in a position of debt, emotional debt. This, come on, you. There we go, emotional debt. That bottom point there is the emotional debt. And inside here, this point is the need for compensation. The need for compensation or justice. Now, you may have thought that I was going to say that space there was forgiveness, but it's not forgiveness. It's compensation. And forgiveness is the tool we use. Oh, excuse me, I'm so dry. Holy cow. Usually I just yell. I don't have to worry about this. Compensation is what we require to recover from a traumatized emotional state. Forgiveness is the tool we have to accept the compensation for emotional trauma. What I mean by that is forgiveness is what returns us back to, or is a tool we have to accept compensation for emotional trauma, allowing us to release the emotional debt we feel and return to an emotionally whole state. So I'm kind of giving you a little bit of a teaching thing here, but in summary, Lucius is whole. He's good. He's experienced a grievance. It's dropped his emotional level. He's in a position of emotional debt, and now he feels he needs compensation for the pain and the trauma that he suffered. Forgiveness is the tool we have to be able to accept the compensation for the emotional trauma that we've experienced. That's right. Yes, Jane, good. I'm glad I wrote this down because I want to make sure I get this right. I'm not clicking very well in this thing. Okay, so return to an emotionally whole state. Go. There we go. There's Lucius. So what happened with Lucius's situation is that his friend apologized. He didn't mean to draw a parallelogram. It was that he usually carries around a set square in his pocket or something like that, and he forgot it today. Lucius felt that that was enough to compensate for the pain that he felt, and now Lucius has returned to a whole emotional state. So you see, the compensation was paid through the apology of the friend, and now Lucius is able to release the emotional debt and return to a whole emotional state again. This is a very simple explanation of emotional debt. Essentially, it's the desire within us to clear these emotional debts that is that drives our need for forgiveness. Because intrinsically, we all want to be whole, emotionally whole. Forgiveness, once again, is the tool that we have to accept the compensation for emotional trauma. Look, here's some other things we need to know about this emotional debt. Here's what you need to know about emotional debt. One, all debt is debt, okay? It doesn't matter the size of a debt. It's more important that you realize that the debt exists. But this is interesting because it explains something. It explains why some people can have a relatively small emotional debt compared to someone else. It explains why someone might feel that their pillows are too high or too low and they're frustrated at the pillows and they've got an emotional debt towards their pillow, as opposed to someone who's actually been through a lifetime of, or someone who's been through Nazi Germany and the pain that they feel. The reason why that is because all debt is debt. If your emotional state has changed, it doesn't matter whether it's changed an inch or 10 feet. If you're in a position of emotional debt, then that is where you are. This should be encouraging because it means whatever pain or suffering you're going through, it's okay. Don't feel that you have to compare your pain to someone else's pain. Don't feel that you should feel ashamed of your pain. Don't feel that you should feel ashamed that you're carrying emotional trauma. It's all good. Oh, come on. All debt is psychological in nature. The pain may be physical, but the trauma will be emotional. Okay? So that means, for instance, just randomly off the top of my head, someone walks in here in the dark carrying a keyboard And for some reason, we had just recently painted the baptismal tank, and trips while they're carrying the keyboard and falls into the baptismal tank and breaks their leg. I don't know where I got that idea from. It's just something off the top of my head. The pain was physical, but the trauma was emotional. It was psychological. I bet that person, every now and again, when they walked in through the back of the church there, they saw that stage and they thought, it's going to gobble me up. It's going to do it again. You get that, hello, Gene, here I come. You know, like that kind of thing. Which explains why someone is able to carry an emotional debt well past the recovery of physical pain. Because it's trauma is in the mind. I have 61 of these to get through. Come on. Oh, yeah. We always personalize our debt. We always personalize emotional debt. We always put a name to it. We always put a face to it. Be that ourselves, be that our God, be that Satan, be that the Lego piece that you stood on. You always put a face to the debt. So, you know, so that explains why someone can walk into a wall that has been there for 30 years and blame the wall. They've walked past it multiple times. They bang it. They don't blame themselves. They blame the wall. I've never done that, but hey. I always blame myself. Come on. Oh, here we go. Debt stacks. What do I mean by that? It means that debt, well, not necessarily stacks, but kind of weaves in. So we have one emotional debt. With Lucius, he had a perfect life. He had been all fine until that moment. But for most of us, what happens is we have one debt and then another debt and another debt and another debt. And they all exist independently, except they weave in together. They stack in together. Now, this is interesting because it explains a couple of things about the nature of releasing emotional debt. Sometimes when you're trying to release emotional debt, there are other debts that get tangled up in the mess, and you actually need you need it to be released from that emotional debt in multiple sources. Sometimes it's hard to release an emotional debt because of a trigger that is linked to another emotional debt. So they stack. That's where it gets really complicated. Debt can be hidden. So you can be experiencing emotional debt today, but put on a mask and act like you don't have any. We're really good at this. We do it a lot. We carry multiple emotional debts inside of us. And sometimes we even get to the point after a while where that emotional debt starts to spill out. So what I'm saying this for is I want to encourage you that if you have emotional debts, to be realistic about it and work through the pain. Only you, and this is the biggest one, only you can release your debt. Only you. This is like probably the, if we could pick one thing from all of this, this is one of the big ones. Because forgiveness is the key to releasing emotional debt in your life. It means that you play the pivotal role in releasing it. It means that you play the pivotal role in accepting the compensation for the trauma that you have you have felt. It also means that you set the compensation level for the trauma to be released, for that negative debt to be released. This is massive. This is massive because what it means is if you want to, no one can be sorry enough. No one can provide you with enough compensation. Do you get it? Because you are the one who frees it up, because you're the one who forgives, you are responsible for the release. You're the last step in the puzzle. And look, if you think about it, you've done this a lot. You've done this plenty of times where you've released debt on very little compensation. And maybe the example I could think of would be things like someone cuts you off in traffic. You know, someone cuts you off in traffic, and the initial instinct is like, oh my goodness, I can't believe, oh, what are they doing? What's wrong with them? Oh, you know, and you see the saliva starts coming out the mouth and it's all hitting the windscreen and all that kind of like this. You're so angry. And then 2 minutes later, it's gone. It's gone. What? Someone's there, how was your drive to work? Oh, it was great. Yeah, sweet ass. No worries. Yeah, you know? So for trauma, the compensation for the trauma that you've experienced is really set by you. That's tough. That is bigger than huge. That is massive. That's just like ginormous. That is like Jupiter size tough. Because it means that if you're going through a very, very tough time, because you can set the compensation level, you can actually release that debt. But it comes down to whether you're prepared to do that. And then we put it in a Christian context where we say, Jesus just tells us, or Jesus just gets us to pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. It doesn't say in the Bible, forgive us our debts once we are provided with compensation from our debtors. That's a massive challenge, guys. Massive, massive challenge. Okay. That's emotional debt. Oh, where did it go? Where did we come back here? Oh, yes. Yeah, we can move on. So, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is the tool we have to accept the compensation for the trauma that we felt and release an emotional debt. That's what forgiveness is. Okay. So, next question. Why does it seem easier to not forgive? Hey, why does it seem easier to not forgive? Because if there's a desire in us to be emotionally whole, why don't we want to forgive and get back to being whole again? What is it about the human condition that's resistant to forgiveness? And to answer that, we're going to talk about the brain and him, Lucius. Hey, Lucius, how you going? This is Lucius's brain. That's Lucius's. By the way, I'm pointing this way because I could see it on the back screen. Okay, I'm not weird or anything. I'm just. Lucius's brain is the hub of his human experience. It's the seat of his will, personality and emotions, as well as his intellect, according to science. So, now, here's the interesting thing about Lucius's brain. Is as Lucius goes through life, his brain does a lot of things. Helps him to breathe, reminds his heart to keep pumping its blood around, the blood around the body, all that kind of stuff. But it's also doing something very interesting. It's looking for positive, pleasurable experiences and negative, unpleasant experiences. And what it does is, for instance, Lucius comes across a positive, pleasurable experience. It files that experience away, and it says, yay, I found something. It files it away in there, and then it puts all of those positive experiences on one side. Then, on the other side, on the negative side, if Lucius comes across a negative experience, it once again files that negative experience away. On another side, it says, oh my goodness, that's a negative experience. Boo. Now, what that means is, in Lucius's brain, he's got a whole lot of positive, pleasurable experiences, and when he comes near another positive or potentially positive experience, his brain then goes, hey, green light, I've had a similar experience before, why don't you go for it? The best explanation I have for this, or example of this, is chocolate. We kept our son away from chocolate till his first Easter, from memory. He had never tasted any chocolate ever before in his whole entire life. When we gave him an Easter egg, he didn't really know what to do with it. But then he managed to get some of that chocolate, that sweet, sweet goodness, into his mouth. And immediately his brain said, yay, and filed that away on the positive side of his brain. And now every time he sees chocolate, he thinks, yay. If you offer my son chocolate, you could probably take him anywhere. On the negative side, what happens is your brain coming across a potentially negative experience says, whoa, red light. You're not going to go there. You're not going to do that. That's a bad idea. So we have these two sides of the brain. We have the positive. We have the negative. We have, thank you, Cam. Don't you die on me. And we have, I just want you to be happy. See, the brain, why it breaks things up into positive and negative is because the brain is really concerned. Its chief concern is keeping you alive, making you survive. So what it does is it separates these things out so it can try and keep you happy and safe. It tries to keep you happy, tries to keep you safe. The brain, though, in saying that, it's really, really good at separating out positive and negative experiences of what's pleasurable and unpleasant, but it's terrible at interpreting those experiences. So sometimes, for example, you may eat a meat pie, and your brain goes, your brain doesn't go, hey, Gene, that's the fourth meat pie this week. Do you realize that cholesterol is building up in your arteries? You could give yourself a heart attack. Your brain doesn't do that. Your brain goes, you really like eating pies, Gene. Eat this pie and then get another one and don't tell Therese. Because it wants you to be happy. In the same way, the negative experiences of your brain, when you go, example, you're feeling akin to someone and you want to go deeper in a relationship with them, you want to open up to them, and your brain goes, whoa, red light. You had a bad experience in that past relationship. You had a bad experience there. It's not a good idea that you go into that. How about this one? Public speaking. Nobody likes public speaking. I do, but that's okay. I'm weird. So public speaking for most of us, though, and this is what happens. You've been told you've got to come up and share a communion in front of all these lovely people here, and even the thought of it makes you nauseous. Even you actually start to break out in a bit of a physical sweat. Your hands start to shake a little bit. You actually have this physical reaction to this potentially negative experience. I couldn't do that. I honestly couldn't do that. Oh, just the thought of it makes me feel terrible. Thank you. You have to ask someone else. Robbing us of a blessing, because who knows, maybe something you have to say will just really touch some lives. It could be a really good thing. Your brain, what you want your brain to do is go on, man, give it a go. Go on, give it a go. But the negative experience, the past trauma, or even the potential for more trauma means that you won't take up the opportunity. Yeah, so that's what the brain's doing. Yeah, here we go. It's easier to not forgive because we are designed to survive. When we look to forgive, we are not only fighting a spiritual battle, but also our natural instincts and our very biology. Where is it? There's something really good in here I wanted to say. This is it. You're not a bad Christian for not wanting to forgive. We've got to put that out there. You are not a bad Christian for not wanting to forgive. You're a human Christian. And the fact that you don't want to forgive is really an indication that there's been some negative trauma that your brain, some emotional debt, that your brain is saying, whoa. You can't release that. You might get hurt. You can't release that. You could even die. Brain is so dramatic. So dramatic. So, never feel, don't, what I, read, listen to me carefully. I'm not saying don't forgive. What I'm saying is if you find it hard to forgive, it's okay. You've got a lot going on in here, but way more complex than even you probably realize. You'll have physical reactions, you'll have chemical reactions, you'll have all this kind of stuff going on in your body. It's okay. It doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. It just means you're a human one. Okay. So, we got through that. Why does it seem easier to not forgive? Because you're a human. And you're set to not forgive. You're trying to survive. This world is hard enough to negotiate, let alone trying to do something like forgive. If that's the case, then let's ask this third question. Why is it better to forgive? Why is it better to forgive? Okay. Now, thank you. The consequence of leaving emotional debt unresolved is a smaller, less diverse, less interesting world. Click. 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 It's dead. The whole system's crashed. I'm not joking. They just said the whole system is crashed. What good were you? What good were you, little remote? I forgive you. Unbelievable. I didn't need all those slides. I could have just done that and shown you how it worked. Now I've got to try and remember. Okay. So I wrote it all down. Hold on, I'll just hold this up on it. It's double-sided, so all the other words show through the page when I hold it up. Oh, man. Are we back? No, I'm not going to. We are? The benefits of unforgiveness. That's what I wanted to talk about. That's actually spot on, Cam. You're amazing. And Steph, thank you, guys. Hey, let's just give a hand to these guys. They do an awesome job. And these guys. These guys. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. The benefits of unforgiveness. Okay, now this is really interesting. I've got to explain something first before we get into all of these. The weight and noise of emotional debt is crippling. And here's why. As we incur more emotional debt, and as our brain identifies further potential negative experiences, the number of potentially positive experiences we engage are reduced. Do you get what I'm saying here? That is, as your brain gets more freaked out about all the potentially negative experiences around you, there's only so many positive experiences. There's a pool of positive experiences in our world that we can have interaction with. And if more of them are deemed to be dangerous and not actually positive, your whole world reduces down. Now, the guys, people, smarter people than me, actual scientists and universities have studied unforgiveness, and they've come up with a whole lot of reasons why it's better to forgive. But I thought I would start by flicking it around and talk about the benefits of unforgiveness. So, number one, poorer physical health. Number two, higher levels of negative stress. Number three, a more pessimistic view of life. Number four, less able to see opportunity. Number five, less able to trust deeply. And number six, less likely to have fulfilling relationships. That's the benefit of unforgiveness. That's what a small, less diverse world looks like. Now, how about we go, what's the benefits of forgiveness? How about this? Put it in context with what we want to talk about. Better physical health. Lower levels of negative stress, a more optimistic view of life, more able to see opportunity, more able to trust deeply, more likely to have fulfilling relationships. Jump next, Kim. Yeah, so there's the physical ones. There's the physical benefits of forgiveness. And I haven't even really touched on the spiritual benefits of forgiveness, which, like, there's tons of them, but there's just a few there. When you forgive, God forgives you. When you forgive, there's restoration of relationships. When you forgive, there's healing of heart and mind. When you forgive, there's joy. When you forgive, there's a deeper appreciation for spiritual things. When you forgive, you're more concerned with the welfare of others. Put that, that's just the start. There's probably another 150 that I could have put on there. Those are just the ones that I thought up this morning. So what I want you to do is to kind of notice that the struggle is worth it. The truth is, it's better to forgive because we were designed to live without the weight of emotional debt. Forgiveness is the key to a rich and full life. Look, forgiveness is not easy. Anytime we look to release emotional debt, everything inside of us says, no, don't do it. It's not safe. But you were never designed to carry the weight and noise of emotional debt. So let's, next slide, we'll have a look at the questions again. What is forgiveness? Forgiveness is the tool you have to accept the compensation for the emotional trauma that you've experienced and release the emotional debt. Why does it seem easier to not forgive? Because you're designed that way. Well, not designed that way, but that's part of being human. It's not easy to forgive. Everything inside of you says don't do it. Why is it better to forgive? Because the benefits are amazing. Because you want to live a rich and full life. Look, the truth is, I could have easily stood here and spouted some key verses and some powerful illustrations of people overcoming immense odds in the pursuit of forgiving one's enemies. And to be fair, that Jesus gave us an imperative to forgive and that we have comprehended it, we all know that we should forgive, right? That we have comprehended it and agree we should forgive is really enough. That's really all there is to it. If the Lord said it, and we should do it. But is it enough? Because it doesn't seem to me like it is. It clearly isn't, honestly. Because Christians of all ages, sizes, facial arrangements, and more seem to struggle with forgiveness. Even more than we'd like to admit. It seems more beneficial to me today to help us to understand why we struggle with forgiveness. What it is about the human condition that makes it so hard to forgive, so that when we are in the middle of a struggle, we know why we struggle. And not only do we feel strong to push forward, but we push forward against the right things. Otherwise, we just feel ashamed in our struggle. Listen, guilt without knowledge leads to powerlessness and shame. Powerlessness and shame leads to fear and condemnation. But Jesus wants you to be free. I love this verse. Put it up. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. You know, everything I've talked about today, God's already been through. We've sinned against him. Interestingly, the Bible says about the world back in Noah's day that God was grieved by the sins of man, the violence. He was grieved by us. We created an emotional trauma, not just for God, though, for the whole of creation. And the beautiful thing about God is when we were asked to compensate for that trauma, God realized we could never pay back the debt. He knew that the responsibility for forgiveness rested on his shoulders, that we were never going to be able to pay back the debt. So he shifted the compensation. He turned it away from us having to pay the debt to his son. And that's why Jesus came and died on the cross. So that we could see forgiveness in action. and experience it for ourselves. We just got to now go and do likewise. Here's the challenge this morning. I've given you hopefully something to think about. I've done not a fantastic job at it, but hopefully a job nonetheless. And here's the challenge for today. If you need to forgive, start today. Get on the road today. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but I will say it's worth it. Start today. If you have anybody in your heart you need to forgive, do that. If you're having trouble to forgive, if you've tried to forgive but for some reason it keeps sticking to your hand, you try to flick it away but it keeps coming back, try again today. Don't let it sit there for too long. Let go. Let go. Try again. Know what you're up against. Don't be ashamed if it comes back to you again. If it does, try again. Try again. Try again. Don't give up. We close our eyes for a second. Lord, I just thank you for every person here. And as I prayed at the start, Father, I pray if there is anything good or noble, trustworthy or pure in anything that I've said today, I pray you would sow it into our hearts. Father, I just pray for everybody. As we walk through down that road of forgiveness, Father, I just pray by the power of your Spirit, you give us wisdom and strength to be able to confront everything, to be able to work out a way to release the debt. And I pray, Lord, that as people find themselves releasing debt, that they would also see the wonder of who you are, that they would see the beauty of life opening up before them as the debts fall away. I just pray for everybody here, Lord, that you'll just bless us, you'll look after us, and keep us safe, Lord. And look, like I said before, forgiveness, first and foremost, is exampled by Jesus on the cross. Number one, it's the number one example of forgiveness is what Jesus did for us on the cross, that he would let go of the right to compensation, and instead he put that upon his son. And through faith in his son, we can have a relationship with God again. We can be restored in our spirit. And we can know him, just as we were designed to. And before I finish, it just wouldn't be right for me to go without asking if there's anyone who needs today to step into that place where you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Or if there's anyone in this place here who feels that they really just need to say, Lord, once again, my heart is yours.